one of the things that is affecting crime, one of the issues seriously impacting crime in Jamaica, is that we're going about it the wrong way, I believe. In my humble opinion, I think that we're more concerned about criminal safety and the rights of criminals than we are about the rights of citizens and the safety of citizens and our security officers. Now, it's not a zero-sum game. We can do both. In fact, we have to do both. But at the same time, since we are not the best resource country in the world, it probably is better if we focus more of our attention on protecting those citizens who have not decided to ignore laws, kill, rape, rob, and commit other serious crimes. Now, in the process of apprehending them, our law enforcement officers have a serious, serious job to do. It's not the easiest job, and they deserve all the support they can get. Now, as I've said, the police are not getting the support they need. Unfortunately, they're not getting it from the citizens who ought to speak up, because the voices of the of those who are benefiting from crime are louder than those people who are submitting their children to be law enforcement officers, and the families of those who are law enforcement officers, and even those people who don't have relatives or family members in law enforcement, but are just good, decent people who are not criminals and are not benefiting from crime. They feel those people are shouted down. Those people are intimidated. Those people are afraid to speak out. They're afraid to speak out for themselves, and they're afraid to speak out in support of law enforcement, because it's not one of the best countries, one of the greatest places, not one of the safest places to speak out in support of the rule of law. Because as you know, informer for dead, right? Right. So, one of the things I've always said, and for those of you who follow my blogs at chatterbox.com, you all know that I constantly try to encourage the police officers on how to conduct themselves as they go about their daily routines. Mindful of the fact that there is not a lot of support for them, even from those who are supposed to be supporting them with the necessary resources and moral support. But with that said, there are some things that officers can do better. And these are not necessarily things that are out of the mainstream. These are just normal things. Normal things that should be done better as per officer safety. And what you do find if you adhere to these very simple principles, officer safety is not necessarily always guaranteed, but it's better guaranteed. And in the process, the safety of those of members of the public who interact or come across law enforcement on a daily basis are better preserved. Their safety is better preserved. And so today, I want to just briefly touch on traffic stops. One of the most routine of police duties. And recently there was an incident in which a police officer, a sergeant no less, confiscated a key from a minibus driver. And the minibus driver, in turn, got up into the face of the officer and eventually took the keys from the officer's motorcycle, confiscated the keys from the officer's motorcycle. Now, from what I've learned, that case ended up in a situation where the The driver of the minibus returned the key to the officer in question and was fined a small amount of money in court for the infraction for which the officer intended to charge him for initially, albeit that this most egregious occurrence of him confiscating the police officer's keys has not been dealt with by the court, and that has emboldened criminals in a lot of people in a lot of ways to be abrasive and to be brash and to be arrogant and to be unresponsive to police officers' commands. The courts are implicitly responsible for that, despite the fact that the laws are not where they ought to be. But the courts could have done a better job, and they chose not to. In some cases, we understand that when police officers are assaulted, it becomes a laughing matter in court, including from the judges on the benches. On the bench, I'm sorry. So, officers have to take note of these things, and they have to protect themselves, because these institutions which are supposed to protect them are not protecting them. Now, I just want to harken back to that case. See, here's the thing. When you stop a motorist, that motorist is supposed to sit in the vehicle. That motorist and everyone is who are in the vehicle, no one is supposed to exit the vehicle. That's standard protocol. All right. So, if the person sits in the vehicle and is not allowed to leave until the police officer finishes what he's doing in terms of whatever he's doing, writing a summons, writing a ticket or whatever, that person poses precious little risk to the safety of the officers. In the case where he confiscated this driver confiscated the keys from the motorcycle, if he was sitting in the car, in that minibus, so I'm sorry, he could not have done that. Now, it could have ended up another way, because the officer could have tried to grab it from him, arrest him, and it could have turned out much, 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 much worse. All right. So, you have to understand the kind of environment in which you're doing police work. It's a very lawless society, and so you have to institute procedures, best practices to protect yourself, not just to protect yourself, but to ensure that you're not hauled before the court like a common criminal for doing your job in that hostile environment. And you did not create that environment. The environment is what it is, but you are going to be held responsible despite the fact that you're not given the tools to do it. But what I'm saying is, insofar as you're humanly possible, humanly able to do some things better, to adapt best practices, I suggest you do that. When you stop a motorist, do not allow the motorist to get out of the vehicle. Here's another thing. Do not go in front, drive in front of the vehicle you stop. Who is stopping who? If you're parked in front of the person whom you just stopped, that person stopped you. You didn't stop that person. You have to learn these things. You have to start adhering to these best practices. When you place your vehicle in front of the vehicle that you're stopping, you place your back to the person you're stopping. If these people in the vehicle are harmed that intend to do you harm, you're dead. You're dead. And so, I suggest you follow these procedures. Stop, and when you initiate a stop, ensure that the person that you're stopping comes to a full stop. Their engine is turned off, and you can see their hands on their steering wheel. And then you exit your vehicle. Call it into control. Then you exit your vehicle. Matter of fact, before you initiate the stop, a matter of fact, police control ought to be notified that you're going to make the stop. That there is a record of that stop. And then you go about initiating the stop once control has accepted, understand that you're about to make a stop. And so if they're given all of the particulars of the vehicle, and then you can initiate the stop. When you initiate the stop, they stay in the car. You do what you have to do with minimal risk to yourself, and the occupants of the vehicle you intended to stop or you stopped. All right. So the other thing is, if you intend, for whatever reason, to search the vehicle, for whatever reason, you have to, while they're in that vehicle, you have to call for backup. If it's like, if you're alone or if it's two officers, you have to call for backup. If there are more than one occupant in the car and you intend to search a vehicle, you must call for backup. You must call for backup. And thereafter, while you're checking the paperwork, then you search the vehicle. Those are simple things that reduces risk to yourself and risk to the persons. Now, if they know that you're about to search the vehicle and all four of them decide to come out of the vehicle, what can you do? If they're armed, what can you do? Now you have to take cover, and now you're dealing with a very, very, very dangerous situation in which you may have two, three people heavily harmed against you alone. And you may only have or two of you who may only have sidearms. So these are things that you have to follow. You have to follow these best practices for your protection. I'll be back to talk to you about some other things. There are really simple things that you're not doing right, officers, and you have to change those practices. We'll talk another time.